great time to look back and reflect on the year. And, you know, really be honest with yourself. We're not asking to reflect back and say, oh, did I know that? What we're asking to do is the action you're taking. Looking back and thinking, did I take action? Did I step up with my behaviour? Did I improve? Did I grow? So we will start today at the start of our EPIC formula with the E for exposure. And as we discussed throughout the year, exposure is important. So why do we care? Very simply, the more visible you are, the more likely you win. It doesn't matter if you're more skilled or have more talent. It's the most visible people who get those opportunities and the opportunities that come their way. And the invisible people do not have that as much. Now, more than ever, people get recognised for who they are more than what they do. A great example is the celebrity world. I think most people on the call know who Kim Kardashian is. And let's face it, she does not get paid to attend events because she has a riveting conversation. She gets paid to attend events because of her name recognition. Like her or hate her, she's done a fantastic job on that. And people don't always choose the most deserving person to work with. Business is often a popularity contest. Now, we are not suggesting that you can succeed by just doing a really bad job and focusing purely on your exposure. That is a surefire way to make sure you are known for all the wrong reasons. You will never get anywhere in your career if you don't deliver. You still have to have the ability. The thing is, though, where most people fall into the trap is where they believe that if they focus on the work, the rest will come. If you think this way, I'm sorry to say we've got terrible news for you. No one is going out their way to discover you. Being great at your job isn't going to be enough. If no one knows you exist, being the best at what you do, working the hardest, is not going to save you. So, with those points of exposure in mind, let's ask Jan the very first question. So, Jan, looking back on your career, if you were asked to give yourself a rating out of 10, how good a job you did on gaining exposure and raising your profile, what number would that be? So 1 would be not a very good job and 10 would be utterly amazing.
So thank you, Jacqueline. I would have said, how did I do? I would have said I would have given myself a 4. I think people might gasp at that. However, nobody ever told me that I needed to do this to kind of be visible. So I did spend quite a lot of my early career working hard. And I thought, if I worked hard, I delivered on time, surely somebody's going to see what Jan does and say, here's the promotion because you've done really, really well. It wasn't my natural way and my natural style anyway, so I didn't consciously going about seeking exposure. But what I did do, and what is a natural style for me, is to network. So I did go to networking events. I'm very curious about people anyway, and I'll talk about anything and different subjects. So therefore, a byproduct of me doing something that I was naturally able to do and to network, eventually I started to build and raise my visibility. And then I was introduced to people along the way. And some of those people have become game changers in my career by offering advice or guidance at the right time or introducing me to someone who along the way would then maybe offer me a role or an opportunity. So if I now look at how well am I doing now, I would definitely give myself a strong 9. Still a way to go, but I would give myself a 9.
Well, I mean, I think a nine is pretty good. And in fairness, I think is always, I mean, I think we share a view on this actually, that we're all a work in progress. We all have room to improve. And so I think sometimes if we do rate ourselves too highly, then we almost think, oh, we're sorted, and we don't carry on learning, which I'm not sure is the best way to be at. So I think nine's a great answer. Let's actually just ask the audience how they rate themselves. So it's the same question, answers in the question box. If you were to rate yourself on how good a job you're doing on your exposure at the moment, say in 2018, look back on the year, one being a very bad job and 10 being, you know, you are the exposure guru, what would you give yourself? So a lot of fives and sixes coming in, or somebody's come with a seven, got three. So there's quite a variety, but I don't think anybody yet has gone higher than a seven. Lots of fours, actually. Oh, an eight. Somebody's got an eight, which is great. It is interesting, isn't it? Because I think somebody has given themselves a 10. Fantastic. Well, if you can share some of the tips of how you do it, that's always fantastic to hear. If you think you've done a 10 out of 10 job in 2018, well done, because that's a great thing to look back and think that's something that you've really worked on. So, and I said, do share the tips. You know, a lot of the response we get with this as well, in fact, this question's already come in two or three times now, is when it comes to exposure, how do I do it? I mean, the same different words come up. So somebody said, how do I do it without bragging? How do I do it without appearing conceited? How do I do it without it sounding like I'm in it for me only? We've got lots of questions already coming in of that vein. What are your thoughts on that, Jen?
It can come across. And so this is more about self-awareness, I think, and how you are comfortable. And I have, you know, in my early career, I was advised to kind of role play and to practice, okay? Because if you practice, it becomes more natural, and you're able to do it. So therefore, you know, in explaining what I do, here's what I do because it's the truth. This is what I do, and this is how I went about it, and here are the benefits. And just hearing my own voice, but in a way that I'm comfortable, and a way in approaching that, it's not boasting, it's not showing off, it's not over-speaking, it's just making your statement, having a bit of a dialogue about it, so that they don't forget you, and then move on. So it's finding your style and what works for you, and it takes practice, but you can do that yourself or with a coach.
Absolutely. I think that's an important part, isn't it, to have some a sounding board as well, if you can do it and invest in that. That's a very powerful tool to have in your toolkit. One of the quick questions someone's come in and said, well, a few people have come in and said, you know, the remote working is a exposure becomes a challenge. Now, we were just having this conversation 40 minutes ago, weren't we? So you do a lot of working remotely, don't you? Your team is global. So when it comes to that part, do you have any tips when it comes to remote working?
Right, okay, and this is very, very important. So a lot of people have gone to the remote working. So you have to make yourself visible, and this is one of the ways that I do it. So from where I live, I have the option of going into two different offices. It is a bit of a journey and it is a bit of a trek. However, I will make back-to-back meetings and I will see as many people as I can. I don't actually work as much when I go into those offices. It's all about finding out about them, what they're working on. Might do a little bit of, you know, coaching, maybe. But it's, you know, what's happening in your organisation. And, you know, being around the canteen area because you're going to see lots and lots of people. Hi, how are you? What's going on? Et cetera, et cetera. And that way, although they're seeing you regularly and consistently, but if you stay at home and just work at home, I think you de-skill yourself a little bit as well because you don't get all of those, you know, that sometimes you're in the corridor and you're hearing conversations or you're sitting in a particular area and you're hearing those conversations. You might not be contributing, but you're kind of being part of it because by virtue of you being there. So I think you do have to work on that, and staying at home definitely all the time 24/7 is not the answer. You've got to, you know, whether it's once a week, every other week, once a month, and just see as many people as you can, speak to as many people as, and let them know what it is you're working on, and blog and go on social media as well and connect that way. That's another way to get your visibility up as well and keep yourself current.
I like that point, actually. Yes, go into the office and be on a mission. I can imagine, Jan, you being on that, being on a mission. So always ticking people off. Yes, seeing them. I have to know, I worked very global in banking, and I couldn't do that because the offices in New York and Tokyo, they weren't necessarily that great at letting travel that much. So I might get over once every 2 years, more as I became more senior. But you know, that's always part of the problem. And I have to say, you know what I used to do? Pick up the phone and call people. Because even in the dark ages of when I was in banking, which was really pre the sort of whole internet boom that we have nowadays, and you know the messaging stuff, people didn't call each other even then. They just let, you know, they allowed the internal email system to be their driver, and I would pick up the phone and I'd have a list and make sure that I'd spoken to some people once a week, some people once every 2 weeks, just having the phone call. And remembering things about them. So remembering things that, you know, they said, oh, I've got to go and see my daughter at the play, or, you know, it's my sister-in-law, or something about them that they tell you the personal, take the note, and then, you know, follow up a few weeks later to say, how was it? How was your weekend? How was the wedding? How was the ski trip? How was the whatever it was? Because people do like it when they share something with you and remember. So it's having a bit more personal touch. So going back to your exposure and thinking back, was there a time when you actually did something practically? You sort of, almost, you said in the early part of your career you hadn't really thought about it, nobody mentioned it to you. So was there a moment when you thought, actually I've got to be proactive, I've got to do something? And how did it go? What did you do and how did it go?
So yes is the answer to that. And again, that was a suggestion of somebody. They asked me a question and I thought, oh my God, you're absolutely right. And the question was, well, Jan, what are you known for? And I actually was speechless at that time. I thought, I do, and I explained what I do, and she said, I know that, but who knows you outside of the business? If I go to a particular meeting at my level, or if I'm in a board meeting and I mention your name, will anybody else know who you are? And I thought, no, they won't. Wow. So what I did, I took on connecting women at IBM, I took on the lead for the London chapter, and it was a very stretch role for me because I knew nothing about that area, so I had to learn out very, very quickly what was the purpose, and so that I could speak intelligently about it. But once I did that, I was then invited to various different meetings. Can you speak on this? What's your opinion on this, Jan? What's the research? So it was pushing me all the time to do lots of reading, to speak to different people. But after a while, people knew who I was, and they'd say, hey, Jan, how are you doing? And I'd say, fine, thank you. Had no clue who they were at that time, but at least people, I wasn't now just someone who was coming into the London office. They actually knew who I was. They were asking me to come to different meetings. And I did that for 4 years. The intention was only to do it for a year. But I also realized that people were moving and changing. Different people were coming into the organization at different levels. The dynamics of the team changed. So I was forever having to just restate who I was, what I did, what's the purpose. And by the way, can I count you in, to do an update or to give a presentation? So sometimes you have to keep doing this over and over and over again. I did do it for 4 years, and that grew my network extraordinarily. Lots more people externally as well, and that's the piece I didn't have. And now people say, oh, do you know Jan? Oh, yes, I do know Jan. She did this. Oh, no, she's doing this now. Oh, is she? And you become a point of conversation in a positive way.
That's fantastic. And we're getting a lot of feedback from people saying, yes, that's what I've done. I volunteered for projects that were known for high visibility, or I joined some volunteer groups. And, and a few people are saying, yes, that, you know, I'm known because of a major incident at work that I was a part of. And obviously, that's how I became known. Also, some others saying, actually, one particular is like, oh, I'm known because what I do is improve the team. And that's great. So back that. So we're getting a lot of sort of feedback from that, saying, yeah, absolutely, that's excellent to hear. And that people are thinking about actually what this means to them, which is what this is all about. It's thinking, taking your great ideas, taking your stories, and thinking, okay, what does that mean to me in my world? So that's fantastic. So why don't we go to a quick poll here, because often another thing that's coming a little bit throughout, and we hear this, Nikki and I hear this a lot as well throughout over the years, is that is there a difference between men and women when it comes to raising profiles at work? So do we think men are more proactive about this than women at raising their profiles? So the poll's going to come up here. Please only select one to answer yes, no, or depends on the individual. Jan, what are your thoughts on this while people are voting?
I think the men are better. I think the women are improving a huge amount, but I think the guys are just very naturally at this. And I was thinking about why, and it might be something to do with their Y chromosome, because they don't ask why, they just go ahead. And I think when we're perhaps smaller, you know, if as a girl, if you're a little bit more assertive, or, you know, you go, hi, this is me, look at this, such and such, they'll say, well, especially in our culture, it would be, okay, you know, don't boast too much, or don't be too bossy, or don't be too pushy. So I think we perhaps naturally start that way, but then we're kind of dumbed down a little bit, and then it takes a while for us to get, you know, once we get a little bit older, we think, well, why can't I do this? And then we'll go out there and do that. And at this point, I would just say, you know, I've had a career now over 25 plus years. And at points, you have to actually reinvent yourself. So some of the things, I mean, I think my core values have already always kind of remained the same. But I've had to learn very quickly. And I've had to keep up with technology. And I've had to reinvent myself and say, right, okay, here's a job that I did today. But now I am going to have to become more social. I'm going to have to go on LinkedIn. I'll have to do a bit of Facebook. I'm going to have to use all of these new tools so that I am seen to be moving along with the times. And I think as technology becomes more fluid, all of us are in that bucket. So we're going to have to, you know, do some things that we don't necessarily like doing, or learning new skills. But unless we do that, we're going to be left behind.
Behind, yeah. Well, let's close off the poll and see what everybody else thinks. Let's see how many have said yes versus the no. So what's quite a well, yeah, so 55% of you today. And it's interesting because this is, you know, you are from sort of across Europe and the US and South America listening at the moment, because the time that we're currently in. So it's not that this is from one or two countries. It's from lots of different countries you're all dialing in from. So 55% you think yes, only 2% think no, and 43% have gone with depends on the person. I do suspect that certainly having worked, you know, almost exclusively with men only most of my career, the one thing I saw actually was that the fear of not getting on and the fear of missing out was greater than the fear of actually going and pushing themselves forward. That's what I saw. And I think that's a different sort of angle on this. I don't necessarily think that they're better or more natural. I just think that on balance, they have a greater fear that drives them. And I wonder if actually for women, we have the opposite, where actually our greater fear is perhaps finding out that we got it wrong, or being told no, or thinking we might be perceived incorrectly for it, that we might, you know, we might actually do ourselves a disservice, because there is that out there as well. There is that sort of that bias that actually a woman who speaks up is often berated for it rather than being congratulated of it as well. So I think it's a very complex topic, but it's always good to see people's responses. We've done exposure. Let's move on to the next part of the EPIC formula. P is for performance. There are certain qualities that lead to high job performance, and there is a real science behind this, and employers do look for these qualities when they're hiring, when promoting or offering opportunities. And we've kind of narrowed it down to six qualities. This is our terms for it, but, you know, there are different ways of phrasing this. But the first performance quality we talk about are safe hands. This is about others having faith in you, that you will deliver no matter what the task. Your competence is well known on many levels. The task will be bringing other people in, which is why your exposure is key. You need to know people to bring in. Or persuading others to follow you, so therefore, you know, impact will be important. And you know, we talk about this actually in the epic format. This is not parallel lines. These four elements do overlap, and it's very, very important that you realise that these are not individual silos. So safe hands being one of the top performance criteria. The next one, effective communicator. That is both speaking well and listening well. People forget listening is a communication skill, a very important one. The third is adaptable. You know, things change, processes, leaders, priorities, and so much. So it is important to be able to adapt and continue being effective in your role. Another key quality is being dependable. And this is about the fact that you are a Cantor, you will see things through. You will follow through on what you have said. You will follow through on what you have been asked to do. The fifth is team orientated. This is about making the most out of collaboration. And people often forget with collaborations, it's much about participating, but also about allowing others to participate too. And then the final one is people skills. You know, this is just, you know, working with others to get the right results. So Jan, seeing this list of qualities as a leader, which one or which ones do you look for the most in other people?
Okay, so let me just put a bit of context here. Because I'm in a global role, I'm often working with people I don't know. I'm introduced to them because they're a specialist in a particular country. So for me, I have to go with a safe pair of hands and someone who's going to be dependable and can deliver, because often I'm working to deadlines. And the consequences of not us not making that deadline is that people are not allowed into a particular country at the right time, and consequently we're going to lose revenue and then also client satisfaction. So I have to go with somebody who is dependable, safe pair of hands, because I know that they're going to deliver what they say they're going to deliver, they're going to be effective, and they're going to meet that deadline as well. And as you know, subset to that is that they have to be able to communicate well and clearly. Otherwise, mistakes are made, and again, that costs time as well.
And actually, it's interesting, isn't it? The context of the job is very, very important when it comes to the performance, isn't it? Certain jobs, that these are so much more important, because as you say, if somebody, you know, that whole point about safe hands and others having faith in you, and therefore they will give you things to do because they know it has to be done, has to be done by a certain date, because actually, if not, the consequence is binary, because it goes from being a win to a complete and utter mess, doesn't it, if somebody can't get in the country to do something. So that's very interesting to think about it as an angle. So for all of you listening, to think about these six different elements and think, actually, which is the one that I think in my context of my role is the, you know, is the most important. So, you know, it may well be that safe hands, dependable, as Jan was saying, are very important there, but it may be something else for yours. So if you think, because you're working in an industry that's very fast moving, you know, maybe, you know, think about adaptability is the most important one. So what are you doing to improve your adaptability if that's the one you choose? Or what are you doing to be a more effective communicator? So that's an excellent point. First point, which is the one you think has got the priority in the area that you're in? So thinking about your team.